Truth News Network. Get the jab or wear the mask. The mask causes infections and hypoxia. The jab causes heart inflammation and anaphylaxis. And every hour of every day, warnings, threats, enticements, lures to get a so-called vaccine for a virus with a 99.987 recovery rate. How do you survive the lies? With a healthy injection of the truth. TNN, the Truth News Network. And Dan Newman.
Here we are, folks. Here we are, second day in July. The summer, the dog days of summer are upon us, and I hope you're prepared for them, and I hope you've got all the kind of peace that you're looking for in your life. Not so much knowing everything, but being comfortable that you know enough to make good choices and good decisions for yourself and your family, but even more than that, understanding and accepting the fact that we don't know everything. And that doesn't mean we're stupid. Let me tell you what a guy a long time ago taught me. If you don't know everything, it doesn't mean you're stupid. If you don't know something and you know that you need to know what the truth is and you don't go find the truth, that means you're stupid. So I don't know everything, but I'm not a stupid person. And I'm one of those people that believe in going and finding facts. And we're going to do that today. We are joined now from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex by Dr. Richard Fleming, Ph.D., M.D., J.D. He's got it all, folks. He has got a pedigree that is amazing in healthcare. He's been around for quite a while. And I'm going to let him, as we introduce him to you, we're going to start off by letting him tell you a little bit about the stuff that he's in. But I will promise you this. He's all over on top of the facts and information that we need to know to get a grasp on how to handle not just COVID-19, but all the noise that we're getting on a daily basis that changes every day. Dr. Fleming, I hear you coughing, clearing your throat. Thank you so much. Thank you. No, it's okay. We all do that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let me tell you this. We had your friend, your associate, Sterling Hill, on with us early this week. She's become a friend of this program, and she's a fellow Louisianian now, so she's one of us. But she had she made it very clear to me, you need to be on our show for our people to hear what you have to say. We need to know facts. So tell us a little bit about your background. Give us kind of the nickel tour, and then I want you to go right to the COVID-19 debacle Americans are dealing with.
Right. Well, the nickel tour is that I'm a PhD in physics, MD nuclear cardiologist, and I have a law degree to boot. I have been involved probably for, let's see, this is 53rd year of doing research, which dates me way back into age 12 when the Kennedy administration program resulted in my being sent over to a PhD program for physics, which was my area of interest and expertise at the time. That led me to a lot of research looking at problems with testing and problems with sorting out medical problems, which I've spent several decades looking at, and that resulted in both the development of a theory that I first presented in 1994 on inflammation and heart disease, which laid the foundation for understanding that all the inflammatory diseases like heart disease and cancer and strokes and diabetes and cancer and a variety of others are related to an inflammatory process, which included many of the things that we talked about early on with cholesterol and fats and blood clotting problems, but also infections like bacteria and viruses. And then I spent a couple decades developing a method for measuring what happens in the tissue so that we can measure regional blood flow and metabolic changes, which allows us to look at the inside of your body and figure out problems earlier and actually measure whether you're responding to a treatment or not.
Wow. Tell us patent number 9566037. Tell us about that.
Right. So, and I apologize, there's a lot of reverberation here. So that is now referred to as Fleming Method, and that's why we have FlemingMethod.com website. What I did was figure out that the imaging cameras that we currently use don't accurately measure what you're looking for. And so I sorted out a way to make those accurately able to consistently and reproducibly come up with a meaningful measurement, which allows us to find things like COVID-19 and the amount of inflammation of blood clotting going on, and then apply a treatment to you, and then within 3 days re-image you with Fleming method and measure whether the treatment actually worked. And that's what we did around the world in the study that we did looking at treatments for SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19.
Let's cut to the chase. What that really means, folks, you know, they told us from the beginning COVID-19 primarily attacks our lungs with tremendous amounts of inflammation. And if you remember early on, all of the doctors, especially up in the New York area, we had a couple of nurses and a doctor or two on the air with us live here talking about very early on, they were putting patients almost immediately on vents and they were not able to get oxygen in the lungs of those people primarily because of the tremendous inflammation. That's all part of it, isn't it, Dr. Fleming?
It is. And unfortunately, the way that they've been using the ventilators have been incorrect for those patients. There were several studies published in the early 2000s that looked at patients with this amount of inflammation and fluid in their lungs. And those studies very clearly showed that if you treated people using ventilators with the amount of air that we normally give to somebody, which is called tidal volume, you'll kill them. You have to cut that, what's called tidal volume, which is the amount of air that is given to the patient each time the machine breathes for them. You have to cut it in half or you will cause more inflammation, swelling, and death in those patients. And that's pretty much what we've seen.
Well, let's segue right into the 900-pound gorilla that's in everybody's room and everybody's mind now. Mm-hmm. COVID-19. Now, I told you offline before we went live, there was some really serious information that came out overnight that's been buried. I know that surprises you, doctor. They're not telling us the truth. Listen to this. I didn't even get a chance to ask you before we went live, but here's the story that came out overnight. And I'm going to read it, just a segment of it verbatim, and then I want to get your input. A patent dated back to November 2018 was deemed to be evidence that proves DARPA, Big Pharma, Bill Gates, other British overlords were all involved in developing the coronavirus as a bioweapon, not developing vaccines, but the coronavirus itself as a bioweapon. The patent for coronavirus was granted November 20th of 2018 by the U.S. Patent Office. And in the patent, it stated the applicant was the Pierbright Institute. Pierbright, as the patent listed, received grants not only from the Bill and Melinda Gates not-for-profit, but also from Wellcome Trust, Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs in the U.K., and Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA, that we talk about a lot. So the outlet reminded that Wellcome Trust has a history of supplying medical kits full of experimental vaccines to the British starting back in World War II, which conducted the world's first modern concentration camp vaccine experiments that killed more than 60,000 blacks and whites. More suspiciously, the date the patent was filed for approval went all the way back to 2017 on January 23rd. It took the UK-managed patent examiner 17 months of consideration, that's all, before promptly issuing a patent for the coronavirus. And at the bottom of all of this, and a signature on this, you'll probably not be surprised to hear, is the WHO, the World Health Organization. Now, had you heard this before, Dr. Fleming?
I have.
Well, shame on you for not coming sooner and sharing it.
I'm working on this scientifically. We have data that shows that this gain-of-function research goes back to at least 1999. I'm looking at a patent on my screen here that goes back to 2014, where Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina was issued a patent, international patent, which means the American one had already been issued, that NIH gets the funding support for, and it's specifically focused on gain-of-function research of the spike protein of the coronavirus. There are a number of papers that Ralph Barrick from the University of North Carolina, Xizheng Li of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and Peter Daszak of EcoHealth are all members of these published papers, research funding that came from DARPA, that came from NIH, that came from NIAID, that came from the National Science Foundation of China, that came from the Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. All of this has been, we have the data on this. We also have the genomes recently provided to us that had been wiped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology data bank in the summer of 2019. The extensive testing using PCR testing to look at SARS-CoV-2, which is the name of the virus, and compare that to three of the viruses that Ralph Barrick developed through gain-of-function research, and the viruses match.
Wow. Let me say this. I don't speak for a lot of people, but I get a lot of questions, and therefore I try to give answers, and I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm an old guy now. I'm not afraid to say when I don't know, I don't know. There's nothing
careful
wrong with
on the age there.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying you don't know when you don't know. It's really crazy to try to give someone an answer. But the big question that everybody is now asking, the first question for months was, why? Why? And where'd it come from? And of course, you know, Dr. Fauci, everybody's favorite virologist and epidemiologist that knows everything about COVID-19, yet is not treated one patient. Nevertheless, he made it very clear in the beginning, if you believe that it came out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, you're deluded. And we all basically agreed at the beginning, but then all the things seem to point that maybe that isn't accurate. So here we are. We're sitting here 18 months, 16 months into this whole thing. And Dr. Fleming, the American public, the American people, we know maybe 3 or 4% at most more today about COVID-19 than we did 16 months ago. So in your professional opinion, looking at this from a whole different plane than we do, you're a research specialist. That's what your career has been about. It's been very successful. You're at a level of understanding that's far above us. Is this really a virus that was developed to do exactly what it's doing as a quote-unquote biological weapon of some sort for some reason?
Well, I will go one better for you than that. To begin with, yes, this is a man-made virus. And it looks like SARS-CoV-1 from 2002 was also a man-made virus. But most people are looking at this as a virus. And what you really have to think of this as is a delivery mechanism. The virus is nothing more than a delivery mechanism.
What's it delivering?
Because it is delivering something much more serious than a virus. It is delivering a prion. And a prion is a malfolded protein that causes inflammation throughout the body and damage to the brain. And it does it slowly over a long period of time. And a typical well-known prion disease is mad cow disease.
Wow.
The animal studies show that this virus actually produces what I call spongiform encephalopathy, which means the brain looks like a sponge, which is what mad cow disease is. And it does it slowly and methodically. And in the what's called humanized mice models, which are mice that have changes made to them so they'll have that ACE2 receptor that humans have, that in 2 weeks, 95% of those mice died, and all of the mice had this brain damage. And the rhesus macaque or monkey models that are close to humans showed in 5 to 6 weeks, they had damage to their brain with things that are called Lewy bodies, the same type of proteins that produce Alzheimer's disease and other neurologic diseases. That makes this spike protein actually the best biological weapon you could have made, because it produces prion diseases. And one of the things that people don't realize until they get into the detail is that Xu Zhengli admitted in the early 2000s to 2010s, I'd have to go back and look at it, that she had inserted HIV glycoprotein 120 into this virus, the spike protein. And HIV glycoprotein 120 is a prion. It's one of these things that cause this type of disease. Luc Montagnier and Jean-Claude Perez from Paris have done the statistical work, and Luc Montagnier is the gentleman who received the Nobel Prize for finding HIV. These gentlemen have shown and provided me data, and they've shared it with others, that show that there's 1,770 nucleotide bases in this spike protein and this virus that are HIV inserts.
Dr. Fleming, you do understand that in the context of the reasoning ability and the knowledge that most people like me have in this thing, the things that you're saying right now are pretty darn scary.
Right. Okay, so let me provide some hope and insight here. To begin with, there are treatments for this virus. We've published research on it using Fleming method to measure the response. So we have published the results. In fact, outpatient treatments, if you get infected and become symptomatic, are a whopping $80 for the person. We actually just posted that on the site, so that we're actually posting not only the treatments, but the costs. So, you know, it's kind of like we can't afford $80 for people that are symptomatic as an outpatient. We have a problem. We've shown a variety of treatments that work. It's very interesting that when people go into the hospital, one of the distinctions to make here is that SARS-CoV-2, so severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, is the name of the virus. If you have something that predisposes you to more inflammation or more blood clotting, which is referred to as an inflammothrombotic response, you will get sicker with a disease that's called coronavirus disease 19. That's not a virus, that's a disease. So the differentiation is you have cholesterol that can lead to heart coronary artery disease, and you have coronary artery disease. You have SARS-CoV-2, that's the virus that can lead to COVID-19. You have HIV, that's the virus that can lead to AIDS, a disease. So they're two separate things. But if you come down with the disease, you can actually be treated quite well. 99.83% of the people we looked at who had the critical disease, with the mortality that everybody's aware of from last year and even this year, we only lost 3 people out of 1,800, which are still 3 people that we lost, but much better than doing nothing.
Absolutely.
So it's very treatable. And heparin, which is one of the drugs that we gave to anybody hospitalized to reduce the blood clotting, we now know interferes with the ability of this virus to attach itself to your cells.
Keep that, write that down, folks, heparin. And at the end, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get Dr. Fleming to talk about treatment and places to go to get it. Let me just say this. He keeps referring to the site. The site is www.flemingmethod.com. Fleming Method, F-L-E-M-I-N-G, just like it sounds, FlemingMethod.com. And I got to be honest with you, since we first spoke a week or so ago, I've spent probably 2 or 3 hours, and I still haven't been able to digest all of the data and information that is there. There's a wealth of details, and it answered a lot of my questions. It's funny what you can do when you find facts that you know factually or true. And that's why Dr. Fleming, that's why we brought him on the show because everybody out there needs to hear the truth. We hear so much that changes from day to day. Facts don't change every day. I mean, when facts are facts, they're absolute, right, Doctor?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I get people who follow me at conferences year after year and they say, well, that's not what I said 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And my first response is, you need a better hobby than to follow me around. But all I'm doing is following the facts. I'm not making them up. And that's one of the reasons why you won't see me jumping out there to be first on a topic, because I'd rather be right than be first.
Absolutely.
It's nice to be first and right, but being right's more critical.
Let me ask you this. You're in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. Are you practicing at a clinic, a hospital, or do you have a private practice there now?
I am not. I decided that I did not want to have a clinical practice here for a variety of reasons, but the strongest one right now is that I think it would be a conflict of interest on my part. People would want to come see me, and therefore it could be deemed that what I'm telling people is a method of just simply getting business or income. So I'm not doing that. I am providing the science for people and putting down everybody else's research results so it's valid and we can address this.
Well, that sounds very prudent and very logical because, you know, in this political environment, which I'm sure you've probably heard, this has been politicized to a large degree. when we tell our people, they ask, well, you know, talking about Tony Fauci, and I'm not even going to ask your opinion about Dr. Fauci. And everybody,
oh, I'm going to give it to you.
Well,
I'm going to, go ahead.
Before you go to him, let me tell you what we do is we look at the stuff that the Faucis of the world, we call them Fauciisms. We look at them and we listen to them. And very early on, when this all began, I mean, Fauci, like the first 3 or 4 days he was up at the White House briefing room with the coronavirus task force, you know, they denigrated Donald Trump, made him look silly and sound silly because of that evil hydroxychloroquine thing that was working in upstate New York, but it wasn't good enough for Fauci and company. But people aren't stupid. People out there can recognize when people don't tell the truth. And so I started getting phone calls, you know, well, what about this? What about that? You know, Fauci said this. The story on the site said this. And then Fauci came back and said it wasn't so. And here's how I became okay and how to figure out how to handle stuff like that. When somebody tells you a lie and then tells you a second one, maybe a third one. By the time they tell you the third lie, you can truthfully brand them as a liar. So therefore, my question is, looking at the politicians and those in D.C. that have used this for whatever advantage or advantages they wanted, if somebody lies to you and you know they lied to you once or twice or three times, can you ever again believe anything they tell you? Which story do you get told, especially if it's a life-changing decision involved? Which one are you willing to take and believe and put it in practice in your life and risk death? We're at that point now, Dr. Fleming, where people don't know who to believe and what to trust.
Right. You know, and it's very hard from my perspective because I feel like I'm defending science and I'm defending medicine and, you know, without having done anything wrong, I have to defend fields that have a lot of very, very good people working in them.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you've got Kevin McCarron in Japan, who's one of the world's experts in primate behavior, who understands the neurologic phenomenon. You have Luc Montagnier and Jean-Claude Perez in Paris that are experts in virology. You have Didier, I think it's Roulet, who's done work with hydroxychloroquine, also in Paris. You have people that have worked very diligently to try to find some answers and, you know, where there's some, again, as a research physician, I prefer clinical trials because that's the only way that you can really find the answers versus what you think you're observing. So very careful about what I state is proven versus what sounds like a good idea. I think, you know, one of the things that sets scientists apart is that we don't play some of this social media nonsense that's going on. It's a matter of trying to share information and listen to what other people are talking about. I review for, I don't know, 16, 17, 18 medical journals, and I review every scientific paper from the perspective of, do you know what you're talking about? Does this make sense? I look at the reports that come out that all people hear about in the same way. I don't take the somebody else's perspective on things without myself going and reading and investigating, which is why we put the research study together that we did and then ran it. And what I'm doing today actually is on the website, we had 68 papers under the virus area itself. By the end of today, we will have 141 papers explaining to people what research I was looking at before I began the research study, papers on hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine and zinc and remdesivir and convalescent plasma and interleukin 6 inhibitors, all the drugs that we used for our research and why I selected those drugs and the combinations I did. And one of the critical things about science is that it won't just include your work, but it will include a lot of other work from the people who've been investigating the area. When you get into the area of, you know, Fleming method, well, that's something that I have because I patented it. So it's not something I can refer to other people very well because they haven't been publishing on my patent. But to listen to Dr. Fauci make discussions or comments on things is very challenging for me as a research scientist, because when I listen to him, I don't hear the scientific facts that I need to back up his statements. For example, remdesivir had this wonderful press release in I think it was probably the Oval Office, but it was someplace in the White House. And I've never seen this done before, where somebody in the government makes a press release about a drug that they may have some conflict of interest with. But we looked at remdesivir in this study, and in people who hadn't been treated with anything else, they only had a 28% response to remdesivir. And for perspective's sake, if you have a drug that can make you better, worse, or not change, you have a 33 1/3% chance of each. And remdesivir performed at 28%. It underperformed chance. That's the type of stuff that people need to understand when they're looking at something. I was in medical school in the early 1980s when HIV hit the scene and we were seeing it for the first time. And I don't remember a single paper that I've ever read that Dr. Anthony Fauci authored that was clean research on anything since that time. So all the decades that everybody else is looking at him as an expert, I'm looking at him and saying, what have you done?
As of a couple of weeks ago, he was asked point blank on one press. I don't know if it was a group, an individual or whatever, but I was shocked to hear him answer, and he didn't hesitate when he was asked how many COVID-19 patients he had personally treated, and he said none. If you hear the things that he has been saying for a year and a half, you would never think that this guy that has so much power and so much credibility given to him, not earned, but given to him by the political people in our government, many of the political people in our government, that should shock you because there is no firsthand information. And you're a research doctor. You just told us. Right. You can't in a qualified manner, weigh in on things that you don't see the facts, the structural fundamental facts. And here we have the anointed one, the head of the NIH, basically, controlling the big money, the ones that are putting those grants in the hands of the likes of the Wuhan Institute of Virology for gain-of-function research, which is to weaponize a virus and other stuff, telling us what to do and what not to do, and that we're stupid if we don't just go all in and believe one thing. That's the scary right. part, and that's where we've got to have people like you that come in here and tell us the facts. We're capable of making decisions, and we're really good at doing it and pretty much successful at doing that when we have the truth.
Oh, absolutely. I tell people all the time that one of the critical methods I use to determine the truth or validity of something is I think back to the smartest man and woman I've ever known in my life.
Who are they?
My parents.
Great answer.
And I think back to them and I think, what would my parents think about this statement? And if the first thing I get is a sense of hesitancy or doubt, I know I should question or doubt.
That's a great thing.
They may not have had the degrees, but they were brilliant, brilliant people.
That's a great thought. So as we get, I guess basically we're getting to the end of it. Well, we could go for an hour, hour and a half with more questions to get more information. First of all, will you come back?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
And secondly, give us some advice from a person that knows a whole lot more than most of us that are listening in now. We've got to deal with this. I mean, we're out there where the rubber meets the road. We have families, we have kids, all right. those moving parts in Americans' lives that it appears to many of us that the political side of this whole thing has actually weaponized and is using to instill fear. Fear is the one thing that really messes us all up when we let it become the thing we use to make our decisions and our choices. Can you give us some recommendations of how to move forward in our thinking and grabbing a hold of truths about these things with which we can make good choices?
Right. Well, to begin with, on FlemingMethod.com, if you go under Event 2021 and you drop to the bottom of that tab, there are some proposed treatment recommendations for people to share with their doctors and their friends to address whether you think you've got an infection or you're having breathing difficulties or whether you've been somebody who's been vaccinated with symptoms or you're concerned about somebody having spread something to you via shedding, that you can take a look at, number one. Number two, there's the old common sense thing, which is personal hygiene, washing your hands, cleaning things off you, not coughing on other people. I mean, this is something that I started addressing early on where I said, did your parents not teach you not to cough and sneeze on people? You know, these are the people that benefit from masks, and yet wouldn't you normally just stay home and not go out and cough on people versus having to go out and put a mask on? You just basically need to ask these fundamental questions about personal hygiene and taking care of yourself. The other thing is there's a lot of reverberation and fear mongering going on right now with the Delta virus and everything else. And I told somebody yesterday, this reminds me of going on a trip with my kids. And they're in the backseat, they're going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So every time somebody asks me about that, it reminds me of the kids saying, are we there yet? Quit asking that question. Quit getting fearful about people trying to drive you to do something because, oh my goodness, there's a new variant. There is. If you actually look at the Delta variant, you should take that as very promising information because the V1, V2, V3, and Delta variants are the ones that are changing the most. And they're changing because it looks like they're trying to kick out the HIV and the PRRA inserts that were placed into them. In other words, the virus is trying to normalize itself by the looks of it, genetically. That is the same type of thing that our bodies try to do when things are perturbing them and injuring them. So that's a good thing. That's the virus, I think, trying to respond to what was done to change it and trying to get back to normal, number one. Number two, it really does send a message that the vaccines that were developed were not that great an idea. First off, they weren't tested properly. Secondly, they're only experimental. I would encourage people to not get vaccinated. I would encourage people to not send their children to schools that require them to be vaccinated or masked. And by that, I mean secondary schools, and I mean colleges and universities. I would encourage people to put pressure on their governors to tell their governors to tell the universities and schools to not put those stipulations on people. And there are a variety of petitions that people can go to FlemingMethod.com under that Event 2021 tab, drop down for the president, representatives, senators, governors, you name it, to print up, sign, and mail into these people. Their addresses are on the forms. I'm encouraging people to make decisions to quit being pushed around, and also to recognize that their doctors have a right to treat them medically the way that they and their doctor decide, because there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that gives the federal government the right to manipulate the people like this, either by preventing treatment, forcing vaccinations, or scaring the heck out of people. If you're running around scared after somebody's talked to you, you should be asking why they're doing that. If you're running around saying, well, gee, they're going to pay me to take this vaccine or put me in a lottery, you should be asking, what's wrong with the vaccines if they have to give me a gift to take it or bribe me to take it? So do the personal hygienic stuff. Don't cough and sneeze on people. Wash your hands. You can take a look at those proposed treatments and share them with your doctors. And quit letting the politicians and the powers that be push you around. Remember that these colleges and universities that are saying you have to be vaccinated get money from the federal government, money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Helmsley Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, all the people that have paid for the development of this bioweapon, all the people that have been involved in preventing you from getting treatments, all the people involved in developing these vaccines and getting money from them.
Follow the money, in other words. Follow the money.
Follow the money. Yes.
Dr. Fleming, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here today and sharing with us great wisdom. And I just want to, again, encourage folks to look and listen to what you hear. Get as much information as you can. Dr. Fleming pointed us to the website FlemingMethod.com, FlemingMethod.com. Go there, get information, follow up, and ask questions. And you heard Dr. Fleming promise he's going to come back and be with us again. This is what we do here every day at Truth News Network. We bring you news, information, we bring you real experts in various fields that are very important things for Americans to consider when they make choices and decisions in the lives of their family and themselves, even their businesses. So make sure you join us. We're here, TNN Live, every Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. We bring you facts, we bring you information, we challenge you, but one thing we always make sure, just because you think something's true doesn't mean it's true. And just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. We find the facts, we give you information, and then we challenge you to go verify what you hear at TNN Live. Until next time, have a great one, folks. We'll see you soon at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Speaking the truth, the mainstream press will not. Dan Newman, TNN. The truth.